Hi, this is Corey Turner, and along with my wife Simone, we are the senior pastors of Newmark Church. I wanted to thank you for listening to our podcast today. You're about to hear a message from one of our team that we pray builds your faith and empowers you to follow Jesus more closely. Enjoy the message.
Today we're going to talk about a vitally important aspect of faith. We're going to look at two passages of Scripture. The first is in the New Testament in the book of James, and the second one is in Proverbs in the Old Testament. So James chapter 3, we're going to put it up on the screen for you, beginning in verse 2. For we all stumble in many ways. And if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to bridle his whole body. How about that statement? If you can just get it right in what you say, in the words of your mouth, perfection. And then he's going to illustrate that, give us three illustrations of the power of this little part of our body called the tongue. He says, if we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. And then the third illustration for us here, how great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. Now we can interpret this passage in both a positive and a negative sense, as we will see from this next passage, Proverbs 18, verse 21, which says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits. The title of this message is, Change Your Words, Change Your World. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your presence in this season, this journey that we've been on, and what you are stirring in us as a people, a spirit of faith. God, I'm asking that today you would bring new revelation, bring new insight. Father, even as I've been coming into this, I just have felt this, the importance, the seriousness, the in a sense, magnificence of this truth, that if we can grasp this, Lord, there is such far-reaching implications in our lives and in the world around us. But God, we need revelation. We are looking to you, Holy Spirit, as the teacher to guide us, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we've all probably as children had used this phrase, you know, like when somebody was a bit mean to you when you were a kid, kind of the defense mechanism is sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. The problem with that statement is that it's simply not true. Emotional or psychological injury from words can be greater even than physical injury. I've never really met a grown man who's still whinging and needing ministry from a broken arm, right? But I've spoken to many people who were later in their life, lived decades and many years, who are still bound in an identity wrapped up in words that were spoken over them when they were younger. Before we moved here to lead this church, we had a business. I was mentoring property investors, and every year I'd bring on new clients. And I had, this was right before we moved here, and I had just brought on this new crop of students. I hadn't really met them or had a chance to screen them, and I was doing my first webinar with them. And I would encourage them in these webinars to interact and give some feedback and ask any questions you might have, and I would ask things and ask them to input things and, you know, just to bring some level of engagement. And, you know, everybody was like super engaged, and there was probably 30 or 40 people on, and they were into it, loving it. But there was this one woman, and she just starts saying all these like negative things to me. And it was like things like, why would I pay good money for this? And this is one of the most trite talks on investing I've ever heard. And I was actually talking about the principles of money from the Proverbs, from the richest man to have ever lived, King Solomon. And I was doing my best to ignore her and just keep adding value to everyone else. But it was amazing, after the webinar, I'm driving home, and all I could think about was not all the nice things that everybody was saying and how everybody was encouraged and strengthened and how I was adding value to people, but all I could think about was this one woman who was being mean to me, who was saying all these really negative things over me. And it turns out, we, after following up, she was a bit drunk, and we politely kicked her out of the program and gave her her money back. But it was amazing to me to experience and feel how much more even negative words that are spoken over us can have an impact on our soul than positive words. How are we doing, by the way, on the temperature in the room? It's a little bit hard this time of year, isn't it? It's a little bit, is anybody cold? Anybody cold? Anybody? And maybe we'll just turn the air down a little bit. I'm okay. I'm happy to sweat it out up here. No problem. Neuroscience has proven that both positive and negative words not only affect us at a deep psychological level, but they have a significant impact on the outcome of our lives, how our lives end up. And this is especially true when it comes to words that we hear as children. They shape our identity, how we see ourselves. And neuroscientists have found and done studies that they actually release stress and anxiety-inducing hormones in our brain. Negative words do. They can cause immediate situational stress, but also long-term anxiety in people's lives, all because of words having this physiological impact upon our body. There were two neuroscientists from Thomas Jefferson University, and they were doing this study on speaking positive words. And they found that when a person speaks positive words over themselves, we're not even talking about the Word of God, just positive words, they can reshape their identity, the way that they view themselves. And as they reshape their own view of themselves, it begins to have a positive impact on their relationships with other people and their influence in the world. These neuroscientists were just tapping into a biblical truth that the tongue is powerful. The Solomon passage that we looked at, the Proverbs, the proverb that we read, says that our words are so filled with power that they can lead to life or they can lead to death. And I love how he spins it, and he says, use them for good. Those who love the power of words, those who put them into practice in your life in a positive way, it's going to bring a harvest. You're going to eat the good fruit of it. You can bring life to your life through the power of your words. And then James, he gives us a couple of illustrations, and he talks about the tongue is like the bit in the mouth of a horse. When I was 13, 14 years old, we had horses. I had a horse named Rocky. And Rocky was a great horse. He had this big white stripe down the front of his face. Really, like, friendly, warm, kind horse. But I was always amazed at how me as a kid couldn't control this big beast, this animal, and make it do whatever I wanted it to do. But the only way I could do that was because we would put this little bit in their mouth. So it was this little metal rod that sits on the tongue in front of the teeth. It has this harness. It goes on the head, and it has these reins that come up. And just by pulling the reins, I can direct this horse wherever I want it to go. And James is saying that's what the tongue is like. You can direct your life. This small little thing can direct your life wherever you want it to go. You just decide. Where do you want your life to go? And direct it that way with the tongue. He reinforces this with this illustration of the tongue being like the rudder of a ship. The rudder is that little thing on the back that you just turn, a little tiny thing, but it compared to the size of the ship. But the pilot who is the captain, who's driving the ship, sailing the boat, turning that rudder just that little bit, you can direct it wherever you want to go. He's saying that your tongue is like the rudder of the ship of your life. Where do you want it to go? Some of us are just drifting. Some of us aren't setting the rudder. Some of us don't even know where we want to go. But he's saying that if we will begin to speak words out of our mouth, we can direct our life where we desire it to go. It's easy to miss the significance of our words. We often say things like, "Man, I'm always so tired." And we think that we are speaking something factual about our past. But what's actually true, if what James is saying is true, that the tongue is like the rudder of a ship, we're actually speaking a prophecy about our future. And so it would be helpful for us to begin to be more aware of the words of our mouths and where those words that we sometimes think is just facts about the way things have been are actually words that are directing and influencing and impacting our future. And we're not burying our heads in the sands. I'm not saying it's not right to have moments of vulnerability and honesty in speaking to someone. I'm not talking about denial, none of that. But I'm talking about being aware of the power of our words and using them in the way that James has said to use them. He gives us one more illustration about how this huge forest fire is started by a really small flame, a little spark. And it helps to see that our words have weight and they have significance, that when we speak something out of our mouth, in fact, when we look at someone's life and the things that have been created by their life, we can trace it all back. That big fire, we can trace it all back to a little spark, a little flame of a word that was spoken. Even more powerfully, a series of words that are spoken. So there's three things that we really need to understand to harness the power of our words. The first one is this, that words have creative power. The tongue has the ability to create things. If we go back to the very beginning of God's creation, how did God create? He spoke things into being. He said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And still today, the universe is expanding at the speed of light. That's the power of God's words released out of his mouth. And then it goes on later, and it says that he made men and women, man and woman, in his image. In the image of God, he created them. No other creation made in the image of God. Only you and I, humans, people, made in God's image. Different from everything else. And there's many ways that we manifest this image bearer nature that we have. But one of the ways is that we get to, in a little small way, create with God. We get to bring order to creation and call things that are not as though they were through the power of our words. That our words have this creative ability. Check out this little video here on the screen of it's coming up any second now, of the tongue at work. This is an MRI of a person speaking. And look at the tongue, look at the muscles, look at all these things happening right here. There is no, you know, elephants have trunks, that's cool and all. But nobody, none of God's creation, except for humanity, can do this right here. This is unique. God has made us uniquely to release. And there's more than just something physical going on. It's more than just tongue and vocal cords and muscles moving. There is something that comes out of the Spirit when we speak. All of us are here in this room today because the power of words being released. all of this right here, all of what God's doing can be traced back to a man named Pastor Corey Turner, who was on a plane flying out to Perth, and God began to speak to him about planting churches across Australia. And God put in his heart that the first Pneuma Church plant under his leadership would be Pneuma Church in Perth. And he stood on a stage months later there at Pneuma Church in Melbourne, and he said, "We are planting a church in Perth, Western Australia." He released it. The vision was there, but before it could be worked out, before it could become something, before there could be creation, there was something spoken out of his mouth. And think about the chain reaction put in place of our family moving here, and then we're standing, all eight of us, on this platform, and they're praying over us, and we're being sent out. You can put the photo up, by the way. We being sent out from that church there, and our family being affected, and chain reaction, children growing up in Perth, lives being changed as we're all making disciples here. It's the power of our words. There's a power and a force released when vision, the inner picture of things God shows us and speaks to us, begins to be declared and spoken. What James is teaching us here in this passage is that what's happening in our lives today is a result of the words that we've spoken yesterday and last week and last month and last year. And so if we're not really happy with what our words are producing, let me let you in on a little secret. We have the power to decide the words we're going to speak out of our mouth, particularly as those who are new creations in Christ. Old things have passed away, new things have come, a redeemed new nature. We have the power to choose the words that we are going to speak. And so we can start to speak words that are going to change what next week and next month and next year looks like. I wish it could all just happen overnight, but it can't. There's a time delay. There's a process that happens. One of my most important jobs as a husband and as a father is to regulate the language in the home. Watch it. No, you don't speak to your mother that way. You don't speak to your brother, your sister that way. And to speak words of life over my family. To tell my wife that she's beautiful. We have a new little rule right now. I hope you don't mind if I share this, but sorry, I probably should ask permission. I can stop right now if you want. Okay. It's one thing for her to hear it from me, but we all need to hear it, not just from somebody else, but from God. We need, and even more powerful than me saying, "Olivia, you are beautiful," is for her to say out of her mouth, "I am beautiful." So that's our rule now. Anytime I say, "Olivia, you are beautiful," what do you say?
"No, I'm beautiful. Thank you."
Come on. Man, that gets down into the spirit. It begins to change the way you see yourself and think about yourself. Because, you know, there's an enemy that loves to speak lies over us, things that are not true. We got to be actively working against him. Our words have power. James says later on, "Be slow to speak, be quick to listen." Our words have weight. Be careful, be slow to speak. We're going to stand before God and give an account for every word that we say, every idle word. What we say is heavy, it's weighty. Words matter because they have creative power. They change our future. They change our future for better, for worse. This is true because of our next important thing we need to understand is that faith is released through our words. We release faith. You know, interestingly, we can also release unbelief. But We see this principle of the power of the words demonstrated over and over and over again in the life of Jesus. Many times, Jesus didn't even pray. He just spoke to things and they changed. He spoke words. Things were different. He released his faith. There's a story in Mark chapter 11 where Jesus and the disciples, it was about a week before the crucifixion, and they're walking towards Jerusalem. And Jesus is hungry. And he sees a fig tree with leaves on it. And one of the indications that there might be figs on a tree is that it has these fully grown leaves. And so he sees it and thinks there should be fruit there. Interestingly, this was Jerusalem, a bit higher elevation. And they probably, coming from Galilee, may have actually eaten ripe figs off of trees in Galilee because of the lower elevation. But they get here and Jesus sees that there's no figs on this fig tree. He's a little disappointed. He was hungry. But he says, he probably thinks, I'm going to use this as an object lesson and a prophetic picture. And so he basically says to this tree, may no one ever eat fruit from you again. And so there's this prophetic picture of what's going to happen to the nation of Israel in their rejection of Jesus. But there's also this moment that we're going to find out is an object lesson to teach his disciples about faith. So they go on. He's cursed the fig tree. They go on to Jesus clears out the temple, the money changers. They leave. And the next day, they're walking maybe back to Galilee, wherever they're going, or Bethany, I think they were going. And they come back by this fig tree. And Peter is like, Jesus, look, the fig tree that you cursed is dead. It's withered from the roots up. Now, you'd think that Jesus, and we often tend to think the way we see Jesus, we would think that he would say, that's right, because I'm the Son of God. And that's what happens when the Son of God releases words out of his mouth. I have the power to curse fig trees. But that's not what he says at all. The very next thing that he says is this passage in Mark 11. Let's pull it up here. He says, have faith in God. He's teaching them something. See what I just did? Have faith in God. This is a result of my faith. I release my faith through my words. Truly I say to you, whoever, what's this? Says to this mountain, be taken up and thrown into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will come to pass. In other words, what I just did, you can do that too. You got the power to do the very same thing. Release your faith through what you say. If you have mountains of opposition in your life, he doesn't say to go complain to God about them. That's not going to fix them. He doesn't say to even, you know, cry out to God in this moment to fix them. He says, speak to the mountain. Speak to them. Faith is released through the power of our words. There's actually another story. I won't spend too much time laboring on this one, but I just want you to know this isn't the only story. There's another time when Jesus had been teaching on faith all day. You can find this in Mark chapter 4. They're finished. It's late in the day, and he gets his disciples, and he says, let's get in the boat, and let's go to the other side of the lake, the sea. We are going to the other side. So they get in. They're heading over. This big storm comes up. Winds blowing, waves crashing into the boat. It actually says the boat is beginning to fill up with water. And where is Jesus? He's in the back of the boat taking a nap. He's tired. He's sleeping. And the disciples come to him and they're like, Jesus, don't you care that we're going to die? And Jesus gets up and he says, quiet, be still. Speaking to the storm. And you'd think that in that moment, he'd say, boys, well done. You had a problem. You came to me to fix it. You did the right thing. But that's not what he says at all. He says, how can it be that you still have no faith? What if the lesson here that Jesus was trying to teach them was, I've been speaking on faith all day long. I've been talking about the power of your words. I even said, we're going to the other side. What if, disciples, you would have just stood up and said, peace, be still. Jesus said, we're going to the other side. We are going to the other side. There's a lesson here. Jesus over and over and over again is trying to teach his disciples. You do what I do. Charles Capps, in his book, The Tongue, A Creative Force, says, words are the most powerful thing in the universe. Words are containers. They contain faith or fear, and they produce after their kind. I think the most significant, for the first time, I would say, that the power of our words and how words and faith has to be released through words came when Livs and I were early in our marriage. We had just gotten married, and her parents were able to come over from the UK to the United States where we were living, and they came over for the wedding. But I hadn't had a chance to meet the rest of the family. I hadn't met her brother, sister, anybody else. And so after the wedding, we planned a trip back to the UK to visit. And so we planned this trip like 3 months out, right? So we booked the flights. We got 3 months until we traveled. And we just applied for her permanent residency in the United States. Now, when you apply for permanent residency, you can't leave the country unless you get special permission. And so we go to apply for this special permission, and we learn that it takes 12 weeks to get it. And so I'm like, okay, we're going to be cutting this a little bit close. 12 weeks. We were supposed to fly in 12 weeks. So we really prayed through this, thought, okay, this is God's will for us to go on this trip. I haven't met the family. We believe this was the right timing for us to go. It wouldn't have worked any other time. Otherwise, it would have been the next year. And so we prayed. We prayed a prayer of faith. Said, Lord, we're asking you to provide this travel permit before we fly. Simple prayer. And the principle being, again, Mark 11, I didn't read this part, but if you keep going, whatever you ask for, believing that you have received it, it will be given to you. And so we received it. Lord, we thank you that we have this prayer answered. We receive it in Jesus' name. Thank you. Well, another month goes by, no travel permit. Another month goes by, no travel permit. We're about 2 weeks out now from our time to travel. No travel permit. Well, I think Olivia had shared with one of her friends that what we were praying and believing God for, and she was a news reporter. She's one of those people that go and hold the mic out on the stories, you know, and reporting on the front lines. So she's out covering this tornado that happened close to Nashville where we were living. And it just so happens that one of the congressmen of Tennessee where we were living was there at the same time. And so who knows why, just favored God's providence. She goes up to him and says, of all the things she could say, hey, I have a friend who wants to travel to England but can't because she can't get this travel permit. Can you help her? And he says, well, sure, I have somebody that can call and we can try to do something and help. Just give me her name and phone number. And so she gives her, I think she just happened to have your name and number in her pocket. Weird thing. Anyway, hands it to her, to him. And we get a call like a couple days later from this guy named Mark. Mark Winslow was his name. Remember that? Mark Winslow. And Mark says, all right, tell me the situation. Yep, great, okay. I'll call him, see what I can do. So a couple days go by. He's like, I call him back. He's still working. He can't, you know, there's a big, big backlog. It's really hard to get anything through at that time. And, you know, so anyway, long story short, it's Thursday and we're traveling on Monday. The mail runs to get our travel permit on Friday and Saturday. We're leaving early Monday morning. If it doesn't come Friday or Saturday, we're done. We're not going on the trip. So he calls on the Thursday afternoon and he says, Jason, I'm sorry. I have tried everything I possibly can. I've spoken to them over and over. They've got a big backlog. They're not willing to budge. Normally it's a little bit easier than this, but for whatever reason, they said, there is no way you will get the travel permit in time to fly on Monday. You need to rebook your flights. We hung up the phone and we had this moment. What are we going to do? Are we going to give up? Did we miss it? Or are we going to keep believing? And I thought in that moment of the story of Jairus, when they're on the way to Jairus' house to heal Jairus' daughter, and the news comes, Jairus, don't bother the teacher anymore. Your daughter's dead. It's pointless. Give up. And Jesus turns to Jairus and says, don't be afraid. Keep believing. And I heard Jesus speak to me in that moment, Jason, don't be afraid. Keep believing. And so we're like, all right, let's keep believing. So I prayed a prayer. Here's the thing. I'd already prayed and asked for it and received it. So I wasn't going to pray again. And so we hung up the phone and we said, Lord, we're going to keep believing and trusting you for what we've asked. I said, in the name of Jesus, we will be on this plane on Monday morning flying to the UK. So it kind of felt like, all right, well, great. What's going to happen now? Day goes by, you're nothing. I'm the next morning, I'm driving to Vanderbilt University to do a Bible study with these uni students in their dorm room. And I feel that on the way that I remembered that Olivia's grandmother was unwell, and there was this other little angle we could try where, and it was like God speaking, like, call Mark Winslow back and tell him that her grandmother's not doing well and she may never see her again if we don't go back on this trip, which was true. Who knows? What could happen? Anything could happen. So I call Mark up and I'm like, hey, man, and you can hear his voice like, dude, did I not tell you? Can we put this to rest? Can you let it go? I said, can you just do me a favor, just one more time, will you call him back one more time and just say, Olivia's grandmother is sick and we just want to get, she may not get to see her again if we don't go back on this trip. He's like, all right, I will try one more time. So I'm in the Bible study with these students and the phone rings. It's Mark Winslow. I'm like, boys, sorry, I got to take this call. He says, you are never going to believe this. I have never seen this happen before. They said, if you will send me, if you'll give us a credit card number, we will approve the travel permit today and overnight it to their house by Saturday. They never do anything overnight. We will overnight it to their house on Saturday. Man, there was some shouting in that dorm room. These kids were like, what has gotten into this guy? But our travel permit arrived, and on Monday morning, we were on that plane to the UK. Now, how many times are these moments in our lives where the bad news comes, contrary to what God has said, after we've already prayed and we've asked, that we just give up? What if I would have said, babe, I'm sorry, he just said that we can't go, we're not going to be able to fly. That's a completely different confession. Then in Jesus' name, we're going to be on that plane. So there was something that was significant in releasing our faith through our words. Taking up the rest of my preaching time with that long story, but let me give you my final point. I'll finish up there. Words simply reveal what's already in the heart. 6:45, the good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good. The evil person out of his evil treasure produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. Whatever is in our hearts comes oozing out of our mouth through our words. It's inescapable. This is why it's so important. And this is why James says you can't tame the tongue. It can't be tamed. You got to start with something different. The tongue is just the overflow of what you're filling your heart with. If you want the tongue to do what it's intended and created by God to do, you got to put the right things in the heart. Don't be surprised when you're full of fear after watching season 4 of Stranger Things. Come on, somebody. I was like, I don't know what you're talking about. I've never even heard of that. Don't be surprised when you're feeding the soul on inappropriate images, that the words that come out of your mouth are not good, the thoughts that come into the mind lack purity and holiness. We have the power to decide what comes out of our mouth by deciding what goes into the heart. Because it's only a matter of time before what's in the heart comes out of the mouth. Before we can change our words to change our world, we've got to change what we're feeding our spirit on. And what's amazing is that words are so powerful that when we combine them with God's word, that we can speak words out of our mouth and accelerate the transformation of what's in our heart. We see this in Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. Next one. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night. Now, did you know the Hebrew word there for meditate can also be translated to mutter or even to declare? So don't let God's word depart out of your mouth. Let it be constantly day and night declaring it, speaking it out of your mouth. You know how you meditate by muttering sometimes? Like, you ever caught yourself talking to yourself? Just deep thought. Just deep, you're meditating. But if we can choose to meditate on God's word, what happens? Well, it says we become doers. And if we're doers, well, then what does that lead to? Prosperity and good success. Not just success, good success. We don't want our own definition of success. We want God's definition of success. As the word of God gets inside of us, it begins to reshape our desires, our longings, and our will begins to align with God's will. And then if we begin to release that word out of our mouths, we can begin to change things. I've done this with my identity. I got confession sheets on identity. I got confession sheets on purity. I got confession sheets on overcoming fear. I don't know how many thousands of times I've said, I am a new creation in Christ. Old things have passed away and new things have come. I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live. It's Christ who lives in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and delivered himself up for me. I've been born again. I've been baptized in the Holy Spirit. I received power when the Holy Spirit came upon me to be a witness in my city, my state, my country, and to the ends of the world. Now, be careful you start confessing that, because I grew up in Tennessee and ended up here in Australia. But our words have creative power. One final story, and then we're going to do some business with God. Pastor Corey was telling this story recently. He was talking about a pastor in Melbourne who his wife got cancer. And, you know, it's a challenge for us sometimes when we pray and pray and pray and our prayers don't get answered, and we try to reconcile, you know, what is it? Did I not have enough faith, or should I have released the word, or is there some element of mystery here that I'm not understanding? But in this story, his wife had cancer and she wasn't getting better. And so he is crying out to God and he says, God, what? Why have you not healed my daughter? You're not my wife. You're not answering my prayer. And he looked over on the bookshelf and saw this book, Charles Capps, the Tongue of Creative Force. And he said, I've tried to tell you 3 times to read this book. I had somebody give it to you and 2 other people mentioned it. And so he reads this book and he begins to get this revelation over of the power of his words. And something clicked inside of him. Faith came into his heart, prayed a prayer of faith and received healing. And so every time he came into his wife's room, he would speak over her. He would say, red blood cells up, white blood cells down. Every time. Red blood cells up, white blood cells down. Red blood cells up, white blood cells down. Over and over and over again, he would speak this. Long story short, goes back to the next appointment, red blood cells up, white blood cells down. Over time, keep going back, completely healed. Our words have power. We have the worship team. Come back up, please. Whether we hear this as something that is tried, or I've tried that, or this is pop psychology, or this is God's gift to us in our ability to speak, has everything to do with revelation from God. There would be a revelation that would drop into our heart the power of our words. Could we just stand to our feet in this moment? I feel like the starting point here is just a moment of repentance. Repentance is a change of mind. It's a change of the way that we think. It's a change of our attitude and our perspective towards ourselves, towards the words that we've said in the past. Sometimes we can make excuses. Well, that's just the way things is. That's just the way things are. Remember, words are more than just a declaration of the way things have been, but a prophecy of the way things are going to be. Maybe there's areas of your life where you haven't guarded the tongue. Maybe the Holy Spirit's brought some things to mind that you've spoken over yourself. Things that you've thought and even given words to that do not align with who our Father has said that you are. Just ask Him to forgive you. Say, Father, I've said things that are not true. I've said things that have cultivated death rather than life. Father, forgive me. I turn from that. Just begin to make a commitment to Him. Lord, if you will help me, from this day forward, I will begin to shift the words that I speak. From this day forward, I'm going to purpose in my heart to speak words of life and not words of death.
Thank you for joining us for this message today. We don't assume that every person listening has a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And so today, we invite you to begin following Jesus as your Lord and Savior. The Bible teaches that every one of us has been created for a relationship with God. Sin has separated us from that relationship, but God loved us so much that He gave us His one and only Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus lived, died, and rose again, conquering sin, Satan, and death itself. If we believe in our hearts that God has raised Jesus from the dead, and we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, we will be saved. So if you are ready to pray in faith, turning away from your sin and believing in Jesus for your salvation, please pray this prayer. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God, and I ask you to forgive me and cleanse my heart from all of my sin. I receive by faith the free gift of eternal life, and I ask that you would fill me with the Holy Spirit. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God, and that you have made me a new creation in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you have prayed that prayer for the first time, we would love to know and help connect you to a local church in your area. You can contact us on our website, pneuma.church. Thank you for listening.